Now time to cover the K-State angle with Brian Smoller, sportscaster for Kansas State University, the voice of K-State women's basketball, director of video services. I always say he's a jack of all trades, and I will say Brian is a master of all those trades as well, right, Brian?
If you say so.
You're so humble. But no, Brian does a great job wherever you see him or hear him. He does a wonderful job. And apparently Brian does have a face for radio and TV, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because
sure
a lot
do,
of
right?
us don't. A lot of us don't. A lot of us just have the radio face. Danny Welniak?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we had her on a few weeks ago. I said she has a face for radio and TV, and she laughed and she said, thanks. I said that about you as well, but I'm going to say I'm not putting you and her in the same category, okay?
No, not even close. No. My face for TV was more about the phone. There was no one else around, so it just kind of worked out that way. And
sure.
As opposed to people would seek out, I think, Danny, since she's very skilled at both.
Exactly. I would agree with you. All right, let's talk about the K-State men's basketball team. We'll talk about the women here in a little bit as well. You know, I'll start with this one, and that is, and you know as well as anybody, that there are fans out there. I ran into another one the other day, actually another radio guy down in the Hutchinson area that is a K-State fan, but told me point blank that the only game he's really worried about, that he really cheers for K-State to win, is the KU game. But then he's a guy that doesn't like Bruce Weber, and thus he says he's a K-State fan, but he's actually okay with K-State losing because he's not a Bruce Weber guy, and that would mean Bruce Weber would be fired and let go. And I sit here and I about pull the little bit of hair left in my head out. Are you really a K-State fan when you say that at the same time? It seems to be a little bit contradictory.
Yeah, and I don't, as you bring it up, by virtue of you bringing up, I'm sure he's not alone, and that's unfortunate. For those that bring that up to me, what I usually ask them is, well, what would you like out of K-State basketball? And usually the answer is something that a team that's competing for the Big 12 championship,
mm-hmm.
that's going to go deep in the NCAA tournament, that's going to be in the NCAA tournament every year. And you look at the current state of the program, and they are there. And that's the part that just kind of blows my mind is there was a dip. There was no question about it a couple of years ago where they missed the tournament, and no one was happy. Coach Weber decided to retool and redesign everything, and he brought in these guys like Cam Stokes and Barry Brown and Dean Wade, threw them out there as freshmen, and now you're seeing the benefit of that. And in the end, if Bruce Weber's teams consistently win around 20 games, are in the NCAA tournament conversation, are in the tournament every year, or postseason play every year, and then once every 3 or 4 years competing for a Big 12 championship, in the end, isn't that what K-State fans just want
uh-huh.
from their teams? And they are in that cycle right now. I mean, it is a lot of fun to watch K-State basketball right now. I don't know how you can't watch K-State basketball and like what you see, both from the defensive end and the offensive end. They're playing as well as anybody in the Big 12. Whether they can keep it up for the rest of the year, we'll see. But, yeah, it's disheartening to hear that stuff because, in some respects, they are the ultimate K-State team right now and program for men's basketball.
I've been telling people to enjoy the ride. Don't get caught up in all that other stuff. Enjoy the ride. It was like when the Royals won the World Series or were good and competing for the World Series. Don't worry about next year. Enjoy the ride right now because it's not going to be this way. Not everybody can be the New England Patriots, which there's going to be a time when Brady has to step away where they will not be making the Super Bowl almost every single year. So enjoy it while you have it. This men's basketball team, I think a lot of people on the outside thought K-State was going to be at the bottom of the Big 12. And I know when I talked with you earlier before the season to the exhibition season, and then Coach Bob Chipman, both of you said something very similar, and that was, we think K-State's better than people think they are, that they could easily surprise somebody in this conference this year. It seemed like you said that. Coach Chipman said it, I think, on the air during an exhibition game that I was there for. And that stood out to me because, you know, you guys are closer to the program than me and everybody else out in this area. And there are other people on the outside that don't have all that inside information that just thought, well, same guy's coming back. You lost a couple of guys, DJ and Wesley, and this team's going to be at the bottom of the Big 12. It seems to be that what has happened right now with K-State basketball has just proven to be true what you guys were saying. What led you to believe this team was going to be bigger than all the skeptics said?
I think experience in the backcourt. Bob Huggins, when he was here, Frank Martin said the same thing. And you look at Frank's best teams when he was here. You win in the league with veteran guards and veteran backcourts. And KU has lived off of this for many years. I think the reason they're good at the moment is that they have a veteran backcourt. Oklahoma and what they did last night and the young man that they have playing for them right now may be the only exception to the rule. But how many Trae Youngs come along in a lifetime for a program? So for the most part, you have to win with experience, and experience in the backcourt. Decision makers in your guards that know how to distribute the basketball, how to run your offense, not panic when things go wrong, play good defense, and then score. And K-State's got that with two guys in Barry Brown and Cam Stokes who played and have started so many games. It's interesting. I watched the K-State-Baylor game on TV, and, of course, it was a remote broadcast. And I respect Dean Gaudio, who is the color analyst, a former coach, very much. I think he preps very well. He knows Chris Lowry. They used to pal around together during their circuit time and clinic times. But he kept mentioning K-State as a young team because they didn't have any seniors. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Mm-hmm. Yes, they don't have any seniors that play meaningful minutes, but they're not a young team. K-State has had these guys starting for 3 years, and that's why they're good. They've been able to be under the tutelage of Coach Weber and Coach Lowry for these seasons, starting experience in the Big 12. They've been through all the ups and downs of winning and losing close games in the conference, and now it's all paying off into fruition. It's the same philosophy and the same sort of MO that Bill Snyder uses on the football side. Veteran guys, by the time that they're in their third or fourth year, are able to go, having gone through all that adversity to get there, start to step up and become stars.
When Cam Stokes went down with an injury at Texas Tech, certainly a lot of people quickly reacted, and I understood it. Oh, man, K-State's done. That's it. They couldn't afford an injury. And really, they've become a better basketball team. And I feel weird saying these things because Cam Stokes is a very good basketball player, but Jara in the lineup, and then it seems like the roles are maybe, I don't know if the players decided they all stepped up in the absence of Kamau Stokes, or if the roles are just a little bit more clearly defined, but it seems like Barry Brown has taken on, I'm the alpha dog, I'm the leader, having a Sunday practice saying we're not going to let this slide. Dean Wade, it seems to be much more aggressive than he has been, more consistently. We knew that going in, he needed to be more aggressive. He's finding himself. I think the last K-State player to score four straight 20-point games was Jacob Pullen in 2011. Wade has just accomplished that, Big 12 Conference Player of the Week. But he's kind of the number two guy, which I think is just right for his personality. There'll be times he takes over, but Barry Brown is the alpha dog. Is Bruce Weber should get credit for making this team he's been able to keep it together despite a tough loss in Lawrence against KU and the criticism after that. But at the same time, you sometimes need to catch a break here or there, and I feel weird saying that because Kamau Stokes is a good person, a good player, but it's almost a blessing in disguise to see what else KU State could have with Jara on the floor and the other guys stepping up.
No, I think you summed it up very well. I think Stokes being out of the lineup, there was not a person that didn't think that was going to be an impact and could be disastrous for K-State. And to see what they did after that, you thought that could happen, certainly. Anything's in the realm of possibility, but it certainly was unexpected. Cartier Jara has been great. He doesn't quite have the assist numbers that Cam had when Stokes was playing, but his points per game, I think, is almost identical to what Stokes had when he was playing. I think the key thing that you mentioned that has turned out is that guys, and you see it happen, when someone key in the lineup goes down, they step up their game and realize they may need to take on more of a load in the leadership department and just, hey, follow me, we can get through this. And to see Barry Brown switch into that mode of what they've been asking him to kind of be, which is take over this team, prior to that point, I think these guys are such good guys. I think they were trying to defer to each other.
Yeah.
So I think Barry Brown, Dean Wade were deferring to Cam Stokes being the point guard and letting him be the instigator as to those type of leadership things off the court. not that Cam Stokes is a bad leader and wouldn't have called for a players-only practice either. I'm just saying that it's different. Barry Brown is a different level of intensity. Dean Wade, as aggressive as he is, may have passed up more of those shots to give the ball to Stokes, who, if you remember right, had a pretty hot hand there for a while at the end of non-conference in the beginning of Big 12 play. So you take away 15 shots or so from Cam Stokes, and now you spread those out through Barry Brown and Dean Wade. Brown's hot. Wade, of course, is scalding hot. I think that's what you've seen. The question is, when Cam Stokes comes back,
yes,
my guess is he will be a starter again. I've always been a believer of you don't lose your job to injury. But if Bruce Weber decides, hey, we're going to keep a good thing rolling, and you talk and you sit Cam Stokes down and say, hey, listen, it has no reflection on you. We're just rolling right now. If K-State keeps winning, it'd be pretty hard to juggle that up and mix up that chemistry by inserting Stokes back in there. But I think you have to have the conversation with him of, have you seen what's taken place? We need to make sure Dean, Barry are the primary options of shots, and then continue to get Maween involved in the offense as well. You don't want Stokes to come in and rock the boat, and I don't think he would. I think fans' fear is that you're going to see Cam come back and be the Stokes we saw in the first 10 minutes of the Texas Tech game in Lubbock, where he's coming down and he's jacking up shots and he's turning the ball over. I think he's not that player. He just had a bad game that day. So, you know, if the Wildcats have a flaw at the moment, it's depth, and Stokes will only add to that.
Absolutely. Brian Smolder, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs. What does Cartier Jara bring to the game that Kamau Stokes doesn't? I mean, he's certainly, I think, a better defender. He can probably jump higher. He's got a great vertical. He's very athletic. But that seems like K-State to me just has this really good chemistry that they haven't had for a while.
Well, first and foremost, I think he is a better defender than Cam Stokes. There's no doubt about that. And he's learning how to control himself as far as fouling and being able to move his feet. He's very quick, almost to a fault. Sometimes he tries to stay with a guy on a drive, and that's usually going to result in fouls this day and age, the way the college game is being called. So you got to be careful about that. But he's done a much better job. Most importantly, I think it goes back to what we just talked about, volume of shots. Cartier Jara has zero ego. And not that Cam Stokes has an ego, but as a more established player, Cam Stokes is the guy that can drop 30 points on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to take more shots in a game. There's only a finite amount of shots available in a game. If you're taking away shots from Dean Wade and Barry Brown, Cartier Jara is not someone that's hunting for his shot. He's a pass-first guy. He will take an open shot if he's given it, but he's not a guy that's going to come down and pull up and take a three-pointer early in the shot clock. Cam Stokes, maybe. He might do that if he's feeling like he's hot, right? So the Jara experience that we've seen so far has been a guy that's willing to defer to Barry Brown and Dean Wade, trying to get them shots, run the offense, play good defense, and hit open threes when he's been open. If you went and looked, and I haven't, his 13.4 points per game average, which is the same as Stokes, I'm sure has come on quite a few less shots. His efficiency is off the charts, and his shooting percentages are very, very high. So if he shot the same percentage as Stokes, he wouldn't be averaging the same amount of points. He just doesn't put up as many and take them away from Barry and Dean.
What kind of timetable? Have you heard anything about Stokes and when he may be able to come back? Anything on that?
Well, I saw a report that was in the Kansas City Star, I'm sure you did as well, from our good friend Kellis Robinette, that mentioned that Stokes was closer to coming back than first thought. You know, the funny thing about foot injuries is that they can be anywhere, as we all know. You step off the curb, roll your ankle, that sort of thing. It really depends on the severity of the injury, the person involved, and how much rehab you can get and done in treatment, and how aggressive you are and how aggressive it responds and all that sort of thing. We're very lucky here at Kansas State that we've got, you know, the underwater tanks that they can work in, to run in the underwater pools, the basketball training facility that they work in, the Ice Family Center, is an unbelievable state-of-the-art rehab. We're going through it on the women's side as well with Shaman Martin, who's been injured and out the last couple of games, and his first fear was going to be gone for a significant amount of time, a number of weeks. Now sounds like could be back sooner. I think the same for Stokes. The first thought was, man, this guy's going to be gone till Big 12 tournament time. Well, now here we are into the rehab. He's responding better than first thought. Yeah, maybe quicker. as to a specific time, I don't know. I mean, if you're K-State, there's no reason to rush him back.
Exactly.
If you were going through a stretch where you were struggling, then I think you hey, Cam, are you 75%? All right, we're going to run with you. Now, there's no reason to rush him back. I think you get him to 100%. That could be the second week of February. It could be the first week of February. But you want to make sure that he is 100% ready to go and fully back into the fold in some sort of rotation, even if he's starting, understanding the way things are going right now, that everything's got to go through Barry and Dean. And as soon as he gets a part of that, then he's good to go.
If there ever was a year that I do not want to see the Big 12 SEC Challenge, it's this year. I get it. I know why they do it. I understand it. The publicity, the ratings, the money. It's probably at the end a good thing for the conferences. I know the coaches. We've talked to Josh Eilert, director of basketball operations, West Virginia. They hate it. West Virginia hates it. I think Bill Self hates it. I'm guessing Bruce Weber doesn't like it. I know hate's a strong word, but now you've got Saturday, and human nature is, as a K-State player, you look past this game Saturday. And I know Georgia's not a bad team, but it's not a conference game. I know K-State didn't have a great non-conference slate in regards to wins. They have the bad loss to Tulsa, almost beat Arizona State, but they have good wins in conference so far. And then, of course, there's a showdown with your in-state rival, KU, coming up on Monday, a team that could easily beat in the last seconds in Lawrence, a team that just lost last night to where K-State's only a game back, and if they beat KU on Monday, they're tied for first place in the Big 12, and it's anybody's game the rest of the way. Thoughts on this game on Saturday? Because I don't want to spend a lot of time myself with you talking about Saturday's game. I want to look ahead to Monday, but that's the trap for the players, isn't it?
No question, and I'm sure that's been brought up by everybody. And by the players themselves, that, hey, this is a trap game. It's a big game for both teams, Georgia and K-State. Both are, if you look at the latest ESPN projections and Sports Illustrated projections for the NCAA tournament, both of those two teams are right there in that first four in type of cut line. So it's a big game for both. K-State's non-conference has been much maligned. I think they played some games where they could have made up some ground in the non-conference, but they didn't win those games. So, you know, Arizona State, Tulsa, and now here in Georgia. So if you're going to play a non-conference schedule like K-State played, that means you have to win the marquee names on that schedule. And I'm not necessarily saying Tulsa is a marquee name, but it's more marquee than who else they played. Mm-hmm. Washington State, I guess, would be the other one. So of those four games, they won one so far, the Washington State road game. Now, they have to win the Georgia game in order to help that up. I think if you ask the coaches if the Big 12 SEC Challenge was great and the games were being played the first weekend in December,
yeah,
I think you would not get much blowback. The fact that the Big 12 moved this, or on the behest of ESPN, into the middle of the conference season, and really I shouldn't say the Big 12 moved it, ESPN moved it,
right,
and kind of told the Big 12 this is what we're doing, that's the problem. For the very reason you just mentioned, it's really not. It's great for TV, I guess. If Kentucky's highly ranked and they get matched up with KU, this year is a down year for the SEC. Tennessee's leading the league, and you know Florida's been pretty good. But other than that, it's really kind of a down year. South Carolina's rebuilding. Kentucky obviously is not the same as they've been in years past. Arkansas's down, so it's just not the same league. So it's not the marquee matchup. Now that all said, all of that said, K-State could walk out on Saturday, be flat, and lose the game, and have plenty of motivation and fuel for Monday night.
Yeah.
They could win the game on Saturday and keep the good times rolling, so to speak, and have plenty of fuel and motivation for Monday night. So, yes, you don't want to lose the game on Saturday, but will it affect what happens on Monday? I'm not sure a win or a loss matters. Either way, K-State's going to be ready to go on Monday night. So now the question is, can you at least find a way, as you said, get another notch in the belt for your NCAA tournament resume?
And that place is going to be rocking. Bramlage is going to be rocking on Monday night. That'll be a terrific environment, atmosphere. KU and K-State coming up Monday for the Big 12 lead. K-State women, I know they're a young team. You mentioned the injury with Shaylin Martin. You know, they've had a couple of really nice wins at West Virginia. I think that's the first time they've done that. They also had a win over a ranked Oklahoma State team. But when you have a young team, you kind of have your ups and downs, don't you?
Yes, and the home game with Oklahoma was a bit of a step back. Now, I will say Oklahoma's much better than their 500 record says. They've played the nation's toughest schedule to this point. They're highly ranked in the RPI, even though they're only 10-10, whatever it is, 9-9. They are very talented, All-American center, All-American point guard. So it was kind of a game where you knew going in it wasn't a great matchup for K-State. Cats didn't play well defensively, and they lost the game. Then you go to Baylor, and no one's going to win that, get your feelings hurt a little bit. So that with Shaylen Martin being out, the question now is this is a winnable week for K-State. You get out of a stretch. This is the final game K-State is playing in the first 9 games of Big 12 play. They've played 7 ranked opponents, which is the toughest schedule by any team in the history of the Big 12. 7 ranked opponents, and of those 7, 5 of them have been ranked in the top 11. So it's a rough stretch. They went 3-5 so far. If they win tonight, they'll be 4-5 through that stretch, and then the back half of the week schedule is very friendly, starting with the road trip to Lawrence on Sunday. So there are some, you see a path for K-State women to make postseason and maybe the NCAA tournament under Jeff Mitty, and that would be quite a feat considering they've lost 4 starters, either by graduation or through attrition, from last year to this year. He's done quite a job here in year number 4.
I would agree. And that, like you said, they are at home tonight against TCU there in Manhattan to Bramlage. Shift to football real quick. It's being reported here that K-State has officially announced Andre Coleman as a new offensive coordinator, replaced Dana Dimmel, who went to UTEP. Both Charlie Dickey and Colin Klein will be co-coordinators. No surprises there, is there?
No, I think that was what was expected. People may have some surprise in the titles and all that. Really, though, in the end, it'll be those three collaboratively working together to create the game plan going into game day. My guess would be Andre Coleman would be the primary play caller on game day for the Wildcats, and then move forward from there. You probably will see Coach Coleman move up into the booth for K-State and call plays from up there. Coach Klein was already up there, so he'd probably join him. So either one or all three of those guys would be up in the booth, and then you'd have Coach Hickson, who has not been officially announced yet, but I think is soon to be announced. Eric Hickson coming on as a student coach. He will be on the sidelines. So I think that's how that all will play out as we move forward and get ready for the upcoming season. But it should be fun. Obviously, the football never stops, and looking forward to spring date. I think spring football game being announced here before too long.
That's amazing. We just roll from one to the other when it comes to sports. All right, time for a couple off-the-wall questions. You mentioned this earlier, and that was a question I had ready for you. I want you to fill in the blank. A TV broadcast without the announcing crew attending the event is what?
As a talent broadcaster, I will say it's so frustrating. It's frustrating to watch just because I understand the intent on being on both sides of TV production, being both on the operations side, the production side, and also on the talent side and viewing side. You're trying to save money. There are so many ways that you can save money on a remote broadcast and still keep regional announcers, people that are nearby there at the game to do the game. There are so many good talented play-by-play guys in Oklahoma City and Kansas City and in Dallas that have done ESPN big-time, prime-time basketball and football. Those guys, they right now get on a plane and fly to Bristol or fly to Charlotte to do the remote broadcast for ESPN for those games.
Wow.
It's beyond stupid. So how do you validate we're saving money, but I'm going to pay $1,000 for so-and-so to fly to Charlotte to do the game when I could have had him just turn around and drive his car an hour to go to Oklahoma or Baylor or wherever and do the game? That's the part that just blows my mind. And those guys doing games remotely, it's almost impossible as a play-by-play guy, especially I'm a little bit biased because I'm an emotional guy on the air.
Right.
People that listen, I kind of have a tendency to get a little out of control. So I will admit that. So I need to be in the arena. I need to feel the story of the arena, of the game, of what's going on.
Right.
I can't do that if I'm not there.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how loud you turn up the crowd mic. I can't see everything. I can't be inundated in that environment. And that's the part that you'd see moving forward ESPN's got to figure out and has to hopefully change. and take other people, maybe the producer and the director, and put them back in Bristol as opposed to the talent. I think the talent has to be there for that to work.
I totally agree with you, and I will add one more thing to that is I was watching the Oklahoma K-State game when K-State, I think, Dean Wade, alley-oop dunk, and the sound was, like, muted. I mean, the sound was there, but it wasn't the same sound as if the announcers were there. And so I was like, man, that was amazing, energetic play, but yet I didn't really feel it coming through the TV like I normally do because the sound and everything else tied in with the announcers back at Bristol, it just wasn't the same.
No. They got better for the K-State Baylor game. They did a better job there. But that game, the K-State Oklahoma game, was a perfect encapsulation of what we're talking about.
Yes.
They went in with the idea of Trae Young. They had lined up everything for Trae Young. I'll go ahead and share this. ESPN had approached us about making sure that we were ready to get Trae Young lined up and through technology, our connectivity, getting ready to be interviewed by Scott Van Pelt for SportsCenter after the game. They talked to us about that before the game.
Wow.
And said, well, what happens if K-State wins the game? Yeah. And they were kind of like, oh, well, we hadn't thought about that. Oh, okay.
Huh.
Well, it turns out, you know, the Trae Young story is still a story during the game because he had all the turnovers. But at some point, if you're there as a talent, a play-by-play guy, you're telling your producer, hey, listen, we can't keep talking about Trae Young. The story is this environment, this place is going bonkers.
Yes.
In here. Dean Wade and Barry Brown, that's the storyline now. The narrative has changed. And that's the recognition of that was completely lost on that broadcast because they had sold out on the Trae Young story and they weren't there to experience what everyone else was experiencing there in the environment. So you're absolutely right. That it's got to change. I don't know if it ever will. Maybe fan complaint reaching an apex would be the only way.
Yeah, because, you know, K-State never beats Oklahoma at Bramlage, so I can see how ESPN could look past that one, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I've got an idea and suggestion for him. Go ahead and cut the salary of Stephen A. Smith and take that money and put announcers. Yeah, I'll stop. Okay, and finally, National Pie Day was the other day. What's your favorite type of pie, Brian Smoller?
I'm not a big dessert eater. I'm allergic to egg yolks, so that kind of limits the amount of dessert you can eat.
That's why you're so skinny. That's why you're so skinny. That's the secret.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. I will tell you that. The other part's stress. I wouldn't recommend that for anybody's diet. But if you're going to force my hand and you can find an egg-free version, I will eat an apple pie without hesitation. My mom makes apple pies without egg yolk, and I will be able to take it down pretty easy. So, but that would be. I know it's a boring answer.
Well, you're a true.
There's many, many desserts that I eat.
You're a true American. You like apple pie. I don't like apple pie, and I've been accused of being a traitor and un-American to this country. And then somebody told me you also need to be a Yankee fan to be American, and I said I am proud to be un-American because I am not a Yankee fan. So
no. Wouldn't American be pumpkin pie? I mean, that was served kind of, feels like that was the Pilgrims, pumpkin pie, Thanksgiving. It seems like that would be more
than
the old adage of apple pie and baseball, but hey, what do I know?
That's a good point. I need you to be around me a little more often when people criticize me with that one so you can defend me. That's a good, I'll use that from now on. That's a good point.
There you go.
A little bit of deception and distraction and get them all tricked into thinking something else and they forget the question and the criticism they gave me originally. Hey, Brian, appreciate the time as always. Have a great call tonight, K-State TCU women, and we'll talk again down the line.
Sounds good, Wade. Thanks.
Take care, buddy. That's Brian Smoller. With K-State University, you can hear him, K-State Women's Broadcast, and Jack of All Trades, as I said earlier.